Thank you for joining us on Holy Family Radio for Unapologetically Catholic, a show that embraces the unique and joyful ministry of Catholic education, engaging parish and school communities with one mind and one heart. We are Unapologetically Catholic.
Welcome this afternoon to our show, Unapologetically Catholic, and we are just so pleased to be here today. We're glad you joined us. This is Susie Furtwängler, principal at St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic School here in Grand Rapids.
And Betsy Edgerton, St. Thomas Development and Outreach Coordinator. We're really pleased to welcome our guest today, Mr. Michael Debray. Thank you, Michael. I apologize. Principal of All Saints Academy. And Susie, would you like to start us off with a question?
Well, Michael, I'm just curious what brought you to All Saints, and maybe perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your journey and possibly tell us a little bit about All Saints in general.
Sure. So as a product of K through 12 Catholic education at St. Jude Elementary and West Catholic High School, I felt the call to education and teaching specifically. I went to Central Michigan University where I studied secondary history and school health education. And so my plan was to teach in high school, and whether that was in a public school or private school, it didn't really matter at that time. It just was looking for a job. And as I looked and searched, I came across the ACE program at the University of Notre Dame, and that's the Alliance for Catholic Education. Mm-hmm. They're in their 21st year of serving under-resourced schools, Catholic schools across the country. So I joined ACE as a member of the 16th cohort for the teaching fellows, and I was placed in Memphis, Tennessee at St. Michael Catholic School. Just a wonderful, beautiful community. It was actually an elementary school, so my plans of teaching high school went away very quickly as I found myself teaching third grade at St. Michael. And I just had a wonderful time down there and learned so much about Catholic education, both through my coursework at Notre Dame and being a part of that community in Memphis. And so when my 2 years of service ended, I discerned coming back to St. Michael or looking for work closer to home. And I was very close to going back to Memphis. But an assistant principal position opened up at All Saints Academy. I went to St. Jude Elementary, and 7 years ago now, All Saints Academy was formed out of the consolidation of St. Jude along with Blessed Sacrament, St. Isidore, and St. Alphonsus Parish Schools. So we're an inter-parish school. I got the job, needless to say, and continued learning more and more about Catholic education through the eyes of an administrator. I just completed a 26-month Master's of Educational Leadership, also through the ACE program at the University of Notre Dame. This is the REMIC Leadership Program as a member of the 11th cohort there. And so I'm excited to start a new school year and implement some of the great things that I learned over the course of the summer.
Isn't it funny how God does wonderful things with our lives, and he just doesn't let us in on his plan.
Sure.
Sometimes you go into school to teach high school, and you got trained to do that, and clearly we're ready for that. And then he puts you in an elementary school with third graders, and you discover this whole new part of yourself, mm-hmm. which prepared you uniquely for what you're doing now. I remember when you were an assistant principal at All Saints and thinking that this is principal material here. This is somebody that would be very, very good. Also thinking selfishly, how I'd love to have you at my school
well, <thank you. laughs>
to Appreciate teach an
that.
Elementary
yeah.
classroom, because
yeah.
I think there's something very beautiful about male teachers mm-hmm. in our lower L, and God bless you for doing that mm-hmm. in the third grade.
Thank you.
I have to say, first of all, we have a couple of things in common. First of all, you're a St. Jude's person. I'm a St. Thomas person. So we are basically back as adults
right.
servicing our home parishes. And also, you're a Central Michigan University alum, as mm-hmm. am I. Go Chips.
Fire up Chips.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But with all of that aside, and we just had the opportunity to attend this past summer a conference at Notre Dame with ACE. And I admire you for participating in that program. What an amazing program. And maybe we can peel away some layers of that in just a few minutes.
Sure.
But you said something that kind of struck in my mind because we've had similar backgrounds, but I've not had something that you have and are at the helm of right now, and that is being a principal of a combined parish school. We're very comfortable at St. Thomas the Apostle servicing students that come from different areas of Grand Rapids or educating them, but they all are pretty much St. Thomas parishioners. What's it like having families from different parishes under one roof in an educational setting?
Mm-hmm. So like anything, there's pros and cons.
Right.
Some of the wonderful things that come out of that is not one parish is like the other. So you've got these very unique families and coming from places that have their own little perspective on the faith. And while we're all Catholic and we're universal, and that's what makes this great, is that you can go to Mass in Spain or France or wherever, and it's going to be the same, but with different touches of culture. So it's great that we have such diversity among our student body in terms of, like I said, the perspective of faith. Although it is challenging to go back a little bit in the way that our school is set up, at the time of consolidation, not one school building was big enough to hold all the students. And really, even to this point, as we grow our programs, we couldn't fit everybody into one building. So the decision was made at the time to have split campuses, and the preschool to fourth grade was chosen to be at Blessed Sacrament, the former Blessed Sacrament school, and then fifth through eighth is at St. Jude, the campus of St. Jude. So as it stands right now, St. Isidore nor St. Alphonsus, their school buildings are not used for All Saints Academy. Mm-hmm. Although we do get over to those parishes for Mass, we rotate graduation. So every 4 years, graduation will be held in one of those churches.
That's nice. That's a nice mm-hmm. touch.
And so, and then we always do Catholic Schools Week and All Saints Day at one of the other parishes. So, for example, this year we had All Saints Day was at St. Isidore and Catholic Schools Week was at St. Alphonsus. So the kids who are parishioners at those parishes still feel involved going back to their home parishes. But we live in a different world than the neighborhood parish. And I'm
right.
sure you experience it from St. Thomas, where you get people that drive past many churches to get
right.
to St. Thomas. We've got families that may drive past all three parishes to get to their one parish, and it's because they have those family roots. Mm-hmm. They are looking for a different community than the others provide. They might be attached to other families or a priest. So long are the days of your neighborhood parish where you go to the closest one or the one that you
right.
you live within the boundaries. We live in a world of easy communication and
yeah.
family roots and things like that. So it's interesting, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, in some ways, excuse me, in some ways I think it's wonderful that it is such a competitive environment right now for Catholic schools. It puts an extra burden, I think, on us to be very good at what we do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
If a family is looking for a particular environment, certainly none of us are the same. We're all very good at what we do uniquely.
Mm-hmm.
And, we did a lot of talking at Notre Dame about charism. The charism of our schools
mm-hmm.
is that blessing that the Holy Spirit gives each individual community to be able to service the people that come to that community. And a lot of that is, we talk about that special thing at St. Thomas or that special thing at All Saints, that special feeling you get, and that's our charism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the beautiful thing about parents being able to drive past three Catholic schools is, one, there are so many Catholic schools in our area. Mm-hmm. There isn't just one for the community. But two, that forces us as administrators and as schools to be on the top of our game, mm-hmm. and to be really thinking actively about the charism of our school and mm-hmm. How we, I hate to say the word market because it sounds like we're selling ourselves, mm-hmm. but how we introduce ourselves to potential families that might sure. be coming to our school. And you have the blessing of having several different mm-hmm. charisms, probably all brought from each of your different mm-hmm. Communities.
Yeah, so it can be a little frustrating at times trying to meet the needs of everybody and what right. they're looking for. But at the same time, we can kind of take the best of what four parishes did for so many, many years right. and learn from that and infuse what worked at St. Alphonsus and what worked at St. Isidore and what worked at Blessed Sacrament and St. Jude mm-hmm. and so forth. So really kind of taking a step back and looking at what each of those has to offer and what they learned and what worked for them for so many years and infusing it into All Saints Academy.
Kind of like getting married, isn't it?
Yeah.
Joining families.
And, mm-hmm. and to continue on with that, and we spoke about this in another interview earlier, Susie, and that is what we also learned when we attended Notre Dame is that some things need to die for another thing to rise, sure. obviously, which is the foundation of our faith. Mm-hmm. And you are exemplary at showing the fact that there were some parish schools that maybe needed to come together with other schools in order to rise mm-hmm. and be more, be what was needed for yeah. that community. Mm-hmm.
The Paschal mystery is alive
right.
and well
yes.
at All Saints Academy.
Yes, exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Definitely.
And it's so fun to talk to someone who speaks the same language.
Sure.
Yes. Because we've all been educated in
yeah.
that. And I think that it shows at mm-hmm. All Saints as well as at St.
Right.
Thomas and in many of our diocesan schools, both in Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very blessed with that. Well, it sounds like you've got some really exciting things going on at All Saints. What are some of the things that you're very, very proud of that you do as kind of the community school for those four parishes? What are some things you're proud of?
Well, our mission is to serve and partner with our parents and students and parishioners in our community. So we really take those, you know, action verbs and try to live our mission as best we can. So some of the ways in which we serve and partner with our parishes is we do, as part of the eighth grade graduation, they have a service day. So the kids are assigned to each parish and they go into we bus them over to all corners of the northeast side and they provide service, you know, whatever that parish needs, we do that for them. We recently did because we don't get a lot of opportunities to connect the two campuses, the middle school and the elementary school, although we've done some pretty cool things via technology and have had kindergarten and eighth grade prayer services from 2 miles apart. One of the more tangible things we did was on Holy Thursday. I'm sorry, we were out of school Holy Thursday. Holy Wednesday it must have been. We connected the two campuses by walking from the elementary to the middle school, all K through 8 students, as a part of a kind of a Via Dolorosa. And it was awesome to see. We were separated into 14 groups to represent the 14 stations of the cross, and they were each carrying a sign that represented the station. And so if you were sitting on your porch on that route, you would have been able to experience the stations of the cross right from your porch. So it was great to see, you know, 300 some kids, right. walking 2 miles. And it was great to hear the stories from, the older kids and the younger kids.
Right.
When kids got a little crabby or tired, we just said, you know, Jesus had to do this except with a crown of thorns and carrying a cross. So if you pray, you know, for strength, you can find it too. And so, we had little kids saying it worked, you know, I'm not so tired anymore after I prayed, and it was such a blessing to listen to them. We saw the eighth grade students putting kids on their backs and
aww.
Giving them piggyback rides when mm-hmm. kids got tired. So to watch them come down the hill at St. Jude at the Biddle School campus, Assumption Drive, and watching the relief and excitement and pride of finishing this task of walking these 2.2 miles really in Christ's name was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I bet.
What a brilliant thing to do.
Day. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, it's certainly going to become a new tradition at All Saints Academy. So we're really proud that going into it, we were a little nervous in terms of just logistics and safety, but we going back to our mission, serving and partnering with the community, we had Grand Rapids police officers at some of the busy intersections. We had parents and parishioners who volunteered their time to walk with the children. It was one of those things where you read our mission statement and we did pretty much everything that we're called to do as a school. So it was great.
You probably went home that night and said, job well done.
I did.
Job
yeah.
well done.
And really, and it wasn't me. It was the students and the parents and the teachers and I just sat back and watched and enjoyed. Yeah. So
we call that synergy. Mm-hmm. I think Thomas. Some days I'll say, "Hey, everybody." Sometimes I'll even send out an email.
Yeah.
Can you feel the synergy?
Mm-hmm.
It's where everything is just clicking and everybody is all driven in the same direction, and yet no one's really talking to each other about it. It's just happening. It's this beautiful buzz that happens. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit.
Of course.
But we like to think that we've got a hand in
that. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. As you just brought another thought to mind, though, because you are 2.2 miles apart. And obviously, preschool through grades 4 have their own little mission, and grades 5 through 8 have theirs as well, and very different agendas. But your staff, how as a principal do you keep the cohesiveness? Because I do know at our school, Susie does a phenomenal job on celebrating the gifts and talents that each staff member brings. So what do you do to keep your staff cohesive?
Sure. Well, just kind of revealing that community that's already been built by Christ, getting together, sharing meals, sharing prayer. Mm-hmm. We do a Pack the Pews initiative where we invite the students. We will pick a mass time in a parish to pack the pews, and we all wear our ASA shirts and celebrate mass together. So that's a great way of bringing the community together. We serve, each teacher serves on a number of committees, and that those committees aren't necessarily tied to one building or the other. So the Advent committee, for example, has to get together to plan the Advent activities. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of committees that bring the campuses together. And really, we did a small thing this year. We had, listservs for email, right? And we had a elementary listserv and a middle school listserv. So when I would send an email to the staff, reminding them about a change in schedule at the elementary, I could just put, this is what's happening into that listserv. Well, as a way to kind of keep everybody informed, we said, let's not separate these two. I mean, we all know we get emails all the time that you just sort of read the first couple lines and said, okay, this doesn't really apply to me, and you move it along or delete it or whatever. So we said, well, why don't we just have an ASA staff email, not differentiate between the two campuses? That way, if people want to know what's going on or they want to feel connected, they've got that information just like everyone else does. So I think that helped towards the end of the year. We connected those so that people said, oh, I had no idea that was going on.
Right. And as a member of the staff, not in a leadership role as you two are, I have to tell you to think to yourself, I have no idea what that is a feeling of not being a part of things. Mm-hmm. And so I think I applaud you for that, because I think it's really important to make sure everybody's aware. They don't have to be able to tell you exactly what time it is or where it is or what it is, but just the general idea that it's happening is very important.
Yeah. Michael, we had an opportunity to be with your teachers, a group of your teachers on the campus of Notre Dame just a few weeks ago. And I will tell you that they are very, very proud of themselves, I think, for the work they've done to becoming one community and feeling like they're all one community. They're very proud of that. And that's a tribute to you as a principal, I think. Want to talk a little bit about ACE and ACE Rise and the process that we, our two schools went through for the ACE Rise program and how that maybe ties in a little bit with what you've done in ACE.
Sure. So the ACE Rise program is a new initiative started this year by Father Ron Nuzzi, who is a diocesan priest out of the Diocese of Youngstown. And he is the former director of the REMIC Leadership Program and very involved in Catholic education and in the ACE movement and Notre Dame. And he's just a phenomenal, phenomenal education leader. So what he did was start a new initiative, which is this is taped, right?
Yes.
Renewing identity and strengthening evangelization.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll go back. So Father Nuzzi started this program, Renewing Identity and Strengthening Evangelization, ACE Rise. And what they do is they go and travel really across the country to Catholic schools who want to get kind of a accreditation of sorts in terms of their Catholic identity. So they look at a number of different things and they interview people and talk to students and board members and just try to get a good sense of what's going on at your school in terms of Catholic identity. And that's something that's not necessarily measured by the number of crucifixes or
right, exactly.
Marian images or whatever. Yes. It's more of a feeling. What's going on? How do people communicate with one another? How do people treat one another? What do they have to say? And so it was a very, very enlightening process for us. I think what was great was that the staff really felt validated and affirmed by what they were doing. At the same time, their recommendations, meaning the ACE Rise team's recommendations, were things that have been on our radar, and we know that we need to improve. The couple of recommendations that we had was first to kind of that idea that we do need to continue to try to strengthen the relationships between the four parishes and the school, because while we are one, and that's our theme for the next couple years, it's hard to, especially if you're a parishioner at one of the parishes where the school is not, so St. Isidore and St. Alphonsus, it's hard for them to kind of feel connected to the school because they don't see the kids all the time like the parishioners at Blessed Sacrament and St. Jude do. So how can we continue to remind them that this is your parish school, and kind of support that? So, and even working on the relationship, as we talked about earlier, with the staff members of the two schools, because you know, if you're a kindergarten teacher and an eighth grade teacher, you might not see each other but a couple times a week, if that. And the other recommendation that came out of it, which is really a need for all Catholic elementary schools, is that idea that while we work on catechist hours and we try to do as much as possible in terms of professional development and learning about our own faith, we don't have – you know, any theology majors on staff, which is hard, because I think if you ask the staff, you know, how confident are you in your faith, that they would say very, and they are a testament to God's witness or a witness to God's word. But in terms of really understanding it at a theological and academic level, we don't have that perspective. And I think that's something that Catholic grade schools miss out on when our religious sisters were the ones teaching all the time and they had that background.
Yes.
So just looking at ways, you know, prayer services are great, retreats are great, even some talks are great, but in terms of really getting that rich theological as an academic background is tough, because most theology majors are looking to teach at the university level, or at least at the high school level. So you don't get a lot of people who've got that background. So we're looking at ways in creating some professional development opportunities for our staff to get really good theological backgrounds, as opposed to, you know, just your kind of run-of-the-mill retreat or, right. or prayer service.
You know, Michael, we just had Nanette Clatterbuck from Aquinas College on our show. And one of the things, one of the initiatives that she has is to provide professional development for the teachers in our Catholic community here in Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo. Just exactly doing that. Some opportunities because they're very aware of the fact that we as Catholic school educators need those certification hours for to be catechist certified. But they would like to provide that, and that's one of the things that we've been discussing, she and I, is how do we bring that out to the schools? How do we get into the schools and provide that really rich catechetical training, not just how do you make your classroom, you know, scream the faith or whatever, which I think are sometimes conference topics, but more the catechism of our mm-hmm. of our faith, the really deep, deep, rich conversations that we need to have to grow as catechists, to grow as Catholics ourselves, because I do agree with you. I think we as elementary schools especially have a deficit there. Mm-hmm. You know, we are all very strong in our faith, but we're not educated necessarily mm-hmm. Very well in the traditions and in the rich catechesis of our faith.
And that's where I think we're very fortunate, and I know you are at St. Thomas and really throughout both dioceses of Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids, that we have the pastors who are so willing to come into the classrooms. And what's great about being an interparish school is that we've got four, and really because St. Alphonsus has a few Redemptorist priests over in their community, we've got six pastors who love coming into the classroom, who
That's
love
wonderful.
Spending time with teachers that can kind of shed some light on some of those harder questions that it's that can be tough for lay people to answer.
Right.
And so, you know, without the help of the pastors, I mean, they do so much for our school community. It'd be tough to be as successful as we've been. So definitely a tip of the cap to them.
And to back up for just a moment, because I happen to pull my notes up with the ACE Rise program, first of all, St. Thomas owes the great gratitude to All Saints because our power was out the day that Notre Dame was visiting us, and I do recall standing in the office with a cell phone close to the window so we could get a signal with Father Nuzzi calling mm-hmm. All Saints 24 mm-hmm. hours before they were supposed to arrive to you to say, how about we flip it and we come to your school today? And I'm thinking to myself, holy cow, All Saints, you're amazing mm-hmm. because you said, please come, please, mm-hmm. please yeah. join us.
Yeah, you don't tell Father Nuzzi no.
That's right.
But what an amazing thing to do. Because I think I would have been a little bit panicked had sure. the phone call come our way as opposed. So we have great gratitude to you. But just as you were saying a moment ago, and excuse that I'm reading this, that what they are basically, it's very strategic on their part. They are giving us, with their visit and with their recommendations, a systematic and empirically sound set of tools for us to identify and assess and for us to enhance our Catholic identity. Mm-hmm. Because when someone walks into All Saints, I feel a Catholic feel. I know that you're a Catholic school, and I know that you have multiple parishes coming in, but it's got a really good faith sure. base. But you know what? If we just remained where we are every day saying, yes, we're faithful and mm-hmm. we're teaching it here, we would become stagnant. But instead, we have to reassess. Mm-hmm. And I think that all the schools in the diocese do that on a regular basis, but it's wonderful to have an outsider come in.
Right.
And talk about the sacraments or the catechism or whatever, you know, right. those are important tools for us yeah. because you don't take them for granted. It's how you live, but you have to sometimes step back and look at how you
right.
live.
Right. Well, it's that great, great question. How do you know you're a Catholic school?
Exactly.
You know? Right. And like I said earlier, it's not always about the number of crucifixes on
no.
the wall or how many times you go to Mass. It's the way that people treat each other. It's the way that, you know, our education is holistic and holy and Christ is infused in everything that we do. It's the little kid, you know, we this is a great one. I was outside during recess and kids came running up to me and they said, We found a dead bunny. We found a dead bunny. And I said, well, we're going to have to take care of that, aren't we? And they said, yeah. one of the kids said, we need to have a funeral. And I said, that's a great idea. So I went into the office. I grabbed a little shoebox. I gave my first eulogy that I've ever given. And we had a neat little prayer service with this deceased bunny. And the kids started singing on eagle's wings as we professed him over to the burial site. But it, you know, being surrounded by students and for them to initiate that, I don't know where else you can find such innocence and faith-filled youngsters like I did on that day on the playground. So part of it is probably because, you know, their recess often gets disrupted by funeral traffic. So they, they know what a funeral is.
And they're familiar and comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And I don't know of a radio session yet, Susie, that we have not discussed the fact that in any situation, having God in your pocket as an answer is not a true blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, especially with the little ones, but even with the junior high ones who are going through such a time in their lives, to be able to say, well, let's step back and pray about this. Let's talk about what Jesus would do in this situation, whatever. And that's the beauty of Catholic schools right there.
Right. We've often talked about that. There's just, we can't picture how you would operate in a classroom or operate as an administrator of a school if you didn't have your faith that you could talk about, or if you had to keep that to yourself. That's, we just can't believe how that would feel. And well, that, you know, you see, you've experienced that because you've taught, have you taught in a public school? Did you do some student teaching?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a huge difference. I'd always intended to teach in a Catholic school, but did some student teaching in a public school. In fact, I was in a public school when the bombings.
Oh, yeah, 9/11.
Yeah, 9/11.
Wow.
And how odd that felt that no one prayed, yet all the teachers, you could tell they really wanted to drop back to their faith, but no one could talk about that.
Yeah, I remember student teaching in a public school, and I was giving a lecture on the six dimensions of health. You know, so you've got your mental health and your physical health and your social health. And, I had a first hour class and a third hour class. And so I gave the lecture on the first hour class, and I mentioned spirituality as one of these dimensions of health and being a Catholic and Christian. And I knew, you know, what to say and what not to say. And I just said, it doesn't matter what faith you are, it's just important to understand that there's something that's more than yourself, and recognizing that it's good for your overall health, just as lifting weights is, just as eating healthy is. It's important to exercise that spiritual side of you. And my supervising teacher pulled me aside during second hour, and he said, you ought to take that spirituality stuff. He's like, I get it. I know what you're trying to say. But it's probably best if you just keep it out completely. And it wasn't even, I'm not there evangelizing or anything like that. I mean, I was very politically correct in mentioning, you know, Buddhism as a faith and, you know, all sorts of different world religions, and just to take that out. So that's not even talking about our Catholic or Christian faith. That's just talking about spirituality in general. And it, for it being so taboo, I said, man, this is,
not
doesn't
for me.
Well, it just doesn't feel comfortable. There's like a missing link or something.
It would be like ignoring somebody in the room.
Right.
Like pretending they're not there, walking right past them, ignoring them for an entire school day, every day of the year. I cannot do that. But, you know, I'm intrigued. I'm sitting here and there's this gorgeous pamphlet in front of me, and it says on the front of it, the Eagle Fund. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that. I'm intrigued.
So the Eagle Fund is a new fundraising project that we've taken on at All Saints Academy. And the acronym EAGLE stands for Ergonomics and Aesthetics Generate a Learning Environment. And so what that means is, you know, students, when they walk into the school, we want them to want to walk into the school and be excited about coming to school. And that goes from everything to the paint on the walls, to the seats that they sit in. This kind of came out, we recently hired a new development director, John Matlack, and he's just been outstanding these first couple months on the job, and he came to me and he said, you know, what do we need to do next? What is, we just got done doing a big technology fundraiser where we were implementing smart boards and wireless technology and mm-hmm. upgrading our labs and things like that. And so I told him, the seats that our kids are sitting in now are probably the same. They certainly look the same as the ones that I sat in when I was at St. Jude. And so I said, we need to take a look at the furniture that we have mm-hmm. and what, how our building feels and looks like. And so we discussed this with the board of directors and our pastors and got the okay on this to move forward. And, we began working with local furniture companies such as Steelcase and Herman Miller. Mm-hmm. It's so great being in Furniture City.
Yes.
So you have those things, and it's amazing what they were talking to us about in terms of active learning spaces.
Right.
So kids don't come in and sit into desks and stay there lecture style, sit and get kind of education. They are in and out of small groups, large group, mm-hmm. pairs, individual things. And so we've been researching and looking for solutions in that area, and we found some awesome ones. So we are launching a $250,000 campaign. We've already received two private donations for $15,000 or anonymous donations. And two other ones for $6,000. So we've raised, my math's correct, almost $50,000.
Exactly.
Because we had a dinner and stuff. So people are excited about this. They're
sure.
getting behind it. The we're going to be able to repurpose our libraries to go from kind of that old-fashioned style to more active learning centers.
Mm-hmm.
Where the kids are going to come in, for example, in our elementary library, none of the kids can fit in the hard wooden chairs. And mm-hmm. so you think about when you read a book at home, do you sit at the kitchen table and read a novel or whatever? Do you cozy up on a couch in a,
right.
or a beanbag or whatever? So we're going to look at updating those in the elementary library, while in the middle school library, it's going to be a place where students feel comfortable to come work on a group project or collaborate, something where they can't wait to get to the middle school learning center in between that time of school ending and practice starting. So, mm-hmm. We're excited about the changes coming, and, the teachers are extremely excited about getting some new, tools to make their jobs more efficient and work. So
yeah, this is, I think, another hallmark of Catholic schools mm-hmm. is that we really have to get creative about what we're doing, and we also have to be good stewards and mm-hmm. realize that as part of a parish, and in your case part of four parishes, that at times it feels like the hand is always stuck out in front. You know, we're mm-hmm. asking our parents for a lot. They pay tuition, but when you are providing them with an opportunity to buy in, what's the word I want here, to
invest
mm-hmm. in their children's education, invest in that school that means so much to them, that they chose that school, that school's building their children's faith lives, to be able to invest in that is important. Mm-hmm. And I think that opportunity to do that's beautiful.
Well, and it makes them a stakeholder.
Yes.
You know, in all of it, because what you're doing is you're whether a grandparent, an alumni, a current parent, a future parent, you're allowing them to be a part of the process of building mm-hmm. All Saints into something bigger and better. Mm-hmm. And movement for me, because I come from the early childhood arena, movement is so important to education, so important to the learning, as you can attest to with lots mm-hmm. and lots of different things that you have done over the years. But I think where you're going with this is exceptional. It's very exciting for All Saints, for the teachers, mm-hmm. for the staff, for the families, and most importantly for the students, mm-hmm. because I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. And then for so many years, Catholic schools out of necessity have budgeted just to survive. And we need to start budgeting to thrive. And that means investing in technology, in furniture, in, you know, just things to cosmetically upgrade our places. Because for so many years, we put Band-Aids on things and it just costs us more in the long run, where we can say, now, you know, you are getting the best.
Right.
When you send your student here, because when you're already asking parents to pay tuition, it needs to be the best, not just academically and spiritually, but even in the seats that they sit in, and we really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and often, and I agree with you. Going to Catholic school much earlier than you did, we sat in those straight back chairs in those dusty chalk classrooms where everybody wanted the opportunity to bang them on the school up walls outdoors, you know, or the buildings. But I think that most people, especially in our two dioceses, Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids, are surprised nowadays when they walk into a Catholic school. We're no longer getting the leftovers or you know, what someone else didn't want that we picked up at a garage sale type of deal.
Right.
We are now furnishing our classrooms with state-of-the-art things. Mm-hmm. We're optimizing technology. We have the iPads, the smart boards, the smart tables. We have all of that, and yet we are using it in a very, very specific manner. You know, it's not just handing something out to everybody so they can have fun with it.
Right.
It has direction and purpose.
Yeah.
And it's valued.
Absolutely.
It's valued.
And I'd like to talk in a little bit about those perceptions and some of the research that I've done
over
the course of the year.
Please do.
But before we get there, I think when we go back and we talk about your educational experience in Catholic schools, that was up to date.
Right, that's very true.
That was the technology of the time. Chalk was technology of the time. Mm-hmm. Now it's not the case. So we need to keep up with that. And for I think we got stagnant for a few years, and that's where some of those perceptions came from.
Right. Exactly. And I'm sure with All Saints and with many of our schools like St. Thomas, we say very pridefully, we can go toe-to-toe with you technology with our public schools surrounding our area. And we have some of the finest in the state. We can go toe-to-toe with you technology-wise, academically. We're very rigorous, peaceful discipline that we have. But what hurdles us over everyone else is the faith component.
Absolutely.
And no one can hold a candle to it.
Absolutely.
So we're actually the prize, you know. So go ahead, though. I'm sorry, you get so excited about it.
I know.
So, but your research, I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just got done presenting some research at the 7th Annual Marian Remick Leadership Conference. And my research really started last June. Mm-hmm. And so it was a 13-month research project. And originally I wanted to look at enrollment decisions of parents throughout the diocese. And talking with my academic advisor, I might have bitten off a little bit more than I could have, you know, chew. And really it had more to do with having to depend on so many other people than me taking the reins. Yeah. With that being said, it's going to be great in that any school can take the template that I use, the research questions, and implement that at their own school, whether that's in the Diocese of Kalamazoo or the Diocese of Grand Rapids. So I'd love to share that with you. I'll share it at the principal's meeting coming up. And so what I ended up doing is just looking at enrollment decisions of parents in the All Saints Academy community. So I looked at their decision-making process of current parents, former parents, and then parents of school-age children who are members of the parish, but chose not to send their students to All Saints Academy. And what's really interesting and gives me hope is that last year, for example, our enrollment was 252 students, K through 8, and the number of school-age parishioners between the four parishes was 772. So that's about a third of our students, Catholic students, in the four parishes who sent their children to All Saints Academy. I would love to get that number up to 50%. I would love to get that number up to 100%.
Right.
But there's certainly room to grow, and I think that's one of the benefits of All Saints Academy is that we certainly do have the room, and we've got some empty seats, and we can fill them if those parents desire the Catholic school education. So A few recommendations came out from this, but before I get to that, I'd like to share a couple things from church documents and then some research that's already happened. And one of the things that the Sacred Ecumenical Council did was remind Catholic parents of the duty entrusting their children to Catholic schools whenever and wherever it is possible, and of supporting these schools to the best of their ability. So that's not me as a principal saying come to Catholic schools
exactly.
Because it's a great education or because we want you in our schools. That's the Catholic Church making a pretty profound statement. Mm-hmm. And I came across a telling quote, which is, I absolutely love it because it reminds us of the importance of Catholic school education in terms of the future of the church. And that is, this comes from James in 2008. He said, "It is important to the church for parents to follow through on this duty, as one author predicts, as go the parish schools, so go the parishes." Meaning, we better be educating these kids
That's
in the faith
right.
if we want mm-hmm. St. Thomas or St. Alphonsus or whatever parish to continue on, because there's no better way of passing on the faith than sending your child to a Catholic school,
exactly.
you know, and getting that 35 hours of community in the Catholic faith. So I strongly believe in Catholic school education, and I know that our pastors and parents, there's so many people that are helping to support us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the three recommendations that came out from my research were to, one, change perceptions, because and that comes really from some of the research, which I won't bore you with numbers, but a quote from a parishioner parent who didn't send their child had this to say, and I think it wraps it up really beautifully in terms of what we were trying to find out. She said, "We considered sending them to ASA. However, the tuition for sending three to the Catholic high schools is so astronomical. Catholic schools cannot compete with the tools, technology, and resources in a school district like," and I won't name the school district, "as sad as that makes me." And so that's kind of just making this non-educated guess. And as you were talking about earlier, Betsy, if people just came into our schools and walked through, they would see that we are mm-hmm. on par with the public schools in the area, and that we can go toe-to-toe to them and all sorts of things where they can't go toe-to-toe with us in terms of spirituality and faith.
No.
So the first recommendation is to change perceptions, right? So we need to get people to understand that our school isn't outdated. It isn't academically inferior if you look at our test scores. And really, although it does cost money to send your child to a Catholic school, there's so much financial aid out there and scholarships available that people, they don't realize it. And they we need to do a better job of that, which brings me to my second recommendation, and that's to market intentionally. And marketing isn't that idea of how you talk competing. It's really just telling, right?
Right. That's right.
Promoting is the word I like to use. Promoting.
And I think that's a great word to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Jesus didn't send out his apostles to market.
That's right.
Back in the day, we wouldn't be sitting
where
here.
Where would we
so,
be?
Right.
Exactly.
And so the apostles certainly and Paul were great marketers or great promoters. I like that word too. So, we don't have to look far for a great example of what we need to do in terms of, you know, especially in this day and age of evangelization. So, and the third thing that came out was this collaboration with the local high schools. So whether you're in the Diocese of Kalamazoo or Grand Rapids, it's important for elementary schools to work with the high schools, to work with the elementary schools and get parents thinking about a K-12 education.
Yes.
And how can we work together so that when I talk to a prospective kindergartner, talk to them about Catholic Central or West Catholic at the same time. And what's happening is parents are making the decision very early on that they can't afford Catholic secondary education. So when they make that decision, let's say their kid is in first grade, they're not even sending them to All Saints Academy because they know they're not sending them to Catholic secondary. So what's the point of getting through that? They would rather have them meet their friends at public school X and be in that system for, you know, that amount of time. But what we need to let them know is that there's, for as much financial aid as there is at the elementary schools, there's even more at the high schools.
Absolutely.
And to go in and talk to admissions directors or principals or board members and find out that it's actually accessible and affordable. Because it's a trickle-down effect and it's hurting the elementary schools. And we've got a great system here in Grand Rapids, and I can know from talking to people down in Kalamazoo that they've got a great system as well. And we've got to start thinking and working together like a system like a K-12 and really pre-K-12. Well, and at All Saints Academy,
yes,
a toddler childcare to
right,
12
right,
education
right.
Because, as research suggests, you know, that cohort effect, that building and building and building and building is only going to make it better in the end.
That's right.
Well, and I think that, first of all, we experience the exact same thing at St. Thomas as I know that they do at others. And what's interesting is for us, and I'm pretty confident for you as well, the majority of those families that do not send, who are in your parishes, that do not send their children to your school, still send their children to Monday night religious education or whatever night of the week it is because they still have the faith. They believe it, but you're exactly right. They're looking down the road at the dollar or at the financial end of things. And along with the financial aid, it is community that we are letting them know money is money, and I understand that, but when you have community based in faith, that's going to carry you. I have adult children now. That's going to carry you all the days of your life. You can't put a dollar amount on that. But I do think, especially with the high schools that you're talking about, West Catholic is a perfect example. We just recently had them here on the show, and they are now collaborating with Aquinas College and offering college-level classes at West Catholic High School during the day for West Catholic students, which will count for college credit at no additional cost. So for the first time ever, my eyes were open to the fact that it's not just elementary. Actually, I had to start with it's not just St. Thomas, but then it's just not elementary. It's not just secondary, but it's even the higher education. We are all a community. And if we don't help each other, what do we have?
And I don't know about you all at St. Thomas, but we've sent a number of students over to West Catholic and Catholic Central to take advanced placement math courses.
Yep.
And so at no cost to them. So they're getting that. And that's one of the things that I've talked to our superintendents, assistant superintendent, about the fact that we've got a great advantage in that we're not bound by a lot of state laws and
that's
policies.
That's right. We aren't.
So we can.
She says with glee.
So we've looked at our report cards lately, and we do standard-based grading. And so for some people to come in and say, well, this public school is more academically rigorous than here. And I think a lot of times they say that because of their fancy new buildings and shiny new buildings. We can say, well, if you look at this report card, we actually are holding our third graders to fourth grade standards that you'd find in the public schools.
Right.
And where we can be creative with that, I talked to a prospective parent who was so excited to hear about our elective program because of the state requirements and testing. They're actually doing less with elective type courses and focusing more on reading and math. And reading and math is important, but if you look at our test scores, we were off the charts in reading and math. So we can focus on a more holistic education and spend time digging into robotics and groundswell and all sorts of things.
Well, higher level thinking.
Correct.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right. That kind of pulls all the other things together.
And I'll tell you what, I think what's great for West Michigan is we really do have great public schools. I mean, that's a good thing for our community. And I think at times that's hurt the Catholic schools because people say, well, I can go to public school X, Y, or Z and still get a good education, which they can. And Catholic schools aren't for everybody. But my message always is, if you want it, if you desire it for your child, come in and talk. Let's figure out how we can afford it, how we can make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it pains me to see people leave who want to be there. Or it pains me to see people make these decisions like the parent that I quoted earlier. You know, we would love to send them, but, well, let's take that but out of there and say, this is how we can make
how
it work.
How can I make it work? Mm-hmm. That's right. You know what? Something that you said really hits home to me, and maybe is a great way for us to wrap up the program, is the fact that if we aren't doing our job, if we are not educating children in the Catholic faith, our churches are going to suffer later. We're not going to have leaders for the church. We're not mm-hmm. going to have people whose children will come to church. The likelihood of a child coming out of college, getting married, and attending church on a regular basis is significantly higher mm-hmm. with students who were brought up in a Catholic school, you know. So we need to be doing our job well. However, I think our Catholic community needs to embrace that thought and realize that to promote the faith, to continue the faith, we need to support Catholic schools. And that means that if you're a parishioner in a Catholic parish, you need to be looking at your tithing. And I think as Catholics, we've kind of gotten lazy with that. I can tell you for sure we've gotten lazy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of every dollar that is given to a parish goes to the parish school. And that's an investment in that parish down the line, an mm-hmm. investment in our Catholic faith. We cannot overlook that. So as we're moving forward, we should be encouraging our Catholic families, you know, look at your tithing dollars, invest in your Catholic schools. If you are a Catholic family and your children have gone through school and you have the ability, reach out to your local Catholic school, the Catholic school that's connected to your parish, and see how you can help. Maybe support another child to be able to go through, because we hate to turn children away
mm-hmm.
That want a Catholic education, families that want them, and simply it's a matter of finances. It should never come down to that. Mm-hmm. The rest of us need to pull together to support those families.
Well said.
I agree 100%. I also am interested at a later date of having you come back and joining us again to dive more into this study, because I'd be very curious as to what your questions were, how you conducted your research.
Absolutely.
More of parent responses, mm-hmm. you know, because I do think that if we do exactly what your recommendations, change perceptions, I mean, man sure. alive, we're out there every single day changing perceptions, and hopefully this radio show is doing that as well. But market intentionally, mm-hmm. You know, there is always direction and purpose with everything we do. We just have to make sure that we do it well and continually to do it, because people need to hear things many, many mm-hmm. times before it sinks in, and then collaborate with our, not only our high schools, but also our area Catholic colleges or Notre Dame, mm-hmm. who is now becoming more part of our picture here in the Grand Rapids Diocese, because they're visiting so many mm-hmm. of our schools and mm-hmm. making so many helpful recommendations
yeah,
to us.
Yeah, we're gonna. So we've partnered with the University of Notre Dame, and really that has to do more with my relationship with the university as a student a couple times now, and I would love to get into talks with Aquinas. We've partnered with Notre Dame with their Play Like a Champion program, which is mm-hmm. sports as a ministry. We've got a team coming up to talk about some STEM initiatives from the university. So and then of course Ace Rise. So being only a couple hours away from a great university, a great Catholic university like Notre Dame, plus having Aquinas right in our backyard.
Right.
We certainly have to start teaming up together, you know, in order to strengthen us.
I agree.
Thank you so much for today.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime.
Okay.
Thank you all out there for listening another week to us and celebrating with us the joy of Catholic education and the beauty that's there for you. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. You've been listening to Unapologetically Catholic on Holy Family Radio. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at unapologeticallycatholic@holyfamilyradio.net. If you would like to listen to this program again or share this program with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week. May God bless your day.